Reading from Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who am I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. We are continuing in the series Pentecost People. I've chosen for my remarks today, "Get out of the way." Get out of the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this privilege, opportunity to proclaim your matchless name, to speak your word. May it find a resting place in the hearts of men and women. May the ground be fertile so that your seed, your word, would take root, and that it would blossom, and that it would bring forth fruit. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The news traveled fast and soon reached the apostles and the believers in Judea that non-Jewish people were receiving God's message of new life. When Peter finally arrived in Jerusalem, the Jewish believers called him to task, saying, "Why did you stay in the home of people who were not Korean, who were not Jamaican, Singaporean, German? Why did you stay? You even ate with these folks. How could you?" Do you realize that programming starts at a very young age? Programming. We have these value-instilling devices, these mechanisms called television, the internet, mom and dad, grandpa, grandma, culture. And sad but true, even the church. Value instilling mechanisms that shape the way we think, the way we look at the world, the way we look at one another. 2,000 plus years ago, when Christ died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn, rented. That curtain represented the Holy of Holies. Behind that curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. No one was allowed to go there except for the high priest once a year. Once a year to atone for our sins. I want you to know that sin has been dealt with. Christ dealt with sin. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also died for the sins once for all, the just from the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Sin's been dealt with at the cross. But all of our isms, our sexisms, our racism, our biases, that's something that we personally have to deal with. We have to do that. He's already erased it. He's done everything that could possibly be done. But the rest is up to you and is up to me. Growing up in the 70s, I realized that the Lord was already shaping my thought process, the things that I observed. I went to a junior high school, Hill Junior High. We didn't have mandatory busing when I went from 7th through 9th grade. And it was called open enrollment. You could go to any school in the city. Buses would take you there. So here my sister, my older sister, and I, we're at Hill. Now, the fascinating thing to me is that I'm amongst people of every walk of the nation. And I was enjoying myself. But here's how the programming works. We looked at one another a little differently. See, people, they make and pay attention to who you associate with. So if you're walking down the hall and you're speaking with white folks, black folks look at you a little strange. What's he doing with them? Or, watch this. What in the world is he doing talking to her? Oh, no. And so we came up with labels. If you were black people would call you a Tom. And I'm sure there were other names that I will not mention them here. Names, labels that we call people because they were associating with other folks that did not look like them. And even in the church, when we were at 234, I would come downstairs. And my observation, it was that people were looking for people that they knew, people that looked like them, and that they thought they might be comfortable with. Are you listening? This is not an indictment. This is a fact. Oftentimes, we're comfortable with folks that look like us. I remember in 1978, I was at Kennedy Airport on my way back to Germany. When I got there, turns out that they canceled our plane because it had some mechanical problems. So I'm a soldier, and I had all this time. So I started walking through the airport. It wasn't like it is now. As I'm walking through the airport, I get to this side of the airport where when I walked in there, everybody looked like me. And I said, whoa, look at this. Then as I continued to maneuver around, it dawned on me. They might look like me, but I don't understand a word that's being spoken. Not one word was English. You had all of these languages. Even though they looked like me, we were not the same. But we have a tendency in our society to paint with an extremely wide brush. So we transitioned from junior high to high school. Busing it is now mandatory in 1974 in Denver, Colorado. What happens? Some of the people that I went to junior high school with were now in my neighborhood. One of my good friends, Elizabeth Beatty, we called her, even to this day, Missy, and we're still close friends. A blonde-haired, blue-eyed young lady. She had this brand new car. We were in band together when we were in junior high school, but now she's in my neighborhood, and we decided to go out to lunch. If you could have seen the looks when I got back to school. Oh, my God. See, I'm giving you just a little bit of what Peter was dealing with when he went back to his people. Peter, what in the world are you doing with those Koreans? Oh, my God. And you ate with them, too. You know, if we're not careful, we're going to miss everything that God's doing. You heard me on the 24th. I told you there's a new question. That question is, what is God doing? What is he doing? And what's your role? In 2010, when I arrived here, I met Jun Tae-un, and I talk about him a lot. I met him, a Korean scientist working at Mass General Hospital straight from Korea, who spoke broken English. I asked him a simple question, and he said, well, my English is not that good. And I suggested there's a Korean church down the street if you're not comfortable here. He immediately said, no, there's something about the spirit here. There was a handful of us. It didn't look like this. It was just a handful of us. And he was talking about the spirit. And we spent a whole year together. Broken English and my two words of Korean. Kamsamida and Iriwa. That's all I knew. But we sat together and did Bible study. Bible study for a year. Enjoying one another, talking about culture. He was teaching me. I was teaching him, but I was enjoying myself because I have a brother who doesn't look like me and it doesn't seem to be an issue. Why do we allow society, and I'm going to get very clear with you, family, tell us who we should associate with when the Lord died on a cross for all. And he created a new family. But as many as are called by his name to them, as many as are called by his name, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That's John chapter 1, verse 13. That's not on the slide, but you can write it down. And if you don't write it down, you can always go back and listen to it again. John chapter 1, verse 13. Children. And so here we are. Jun Tae. Shortly after him, I met a Singaporean by the name of David Ng. David and I were talking just this past week. He's retired from banking. He is now a grandpapa, and he's just enjoying the life. But God was doing something then. He was preparing me, and he was preparing the church for what we look like now. For what we look like now. And then there was another person, another Korean man by the name of Light of the World Kim, Pastor Larry Kim. That's his middle name, by the way, in Korean, Light of the World. That's what it means. Ain't that right, June Tung? Isn't that right? Light of the World. I know I called it wrong, but I got your attention. Yeah, you're listening. Amen. I met Pastor Kim 3 different men, the same God. The same God. Are you paying attention to what the Lord has done and who we are called to be? We are called to be imitators of Christ, to look like him, to talk like him, to do what he did so that the world would believe. In 1989, November 9th, the Berlin Wall, some of you were too young to understand the separation of the East and the West, but the Berlin Wall came down. When I was stationed over there, I could never go to Berlin. You had a division between the East and the West. It was a wall that separated them. But on the 9th of November, it came down. You'll observe, I believe you can see it, in that photo, you had people on the East spraying water, and you had people on the West with hammers. In order for the barriers, in order for these isms to go down, it takes place on both sides. It's not just Pastor Johnson learning about you and your culture, but it's also about you learning about me. And I want to be clear on something. I'm an American-American. What I mean by that, I'm not Jamaican-American. I am not from Barbados. We're different, but we look similar. And it's important that you face and confront each individual one-on-one because we're different. The Lord does the same thing with each of us because we're different. And so when that wall came down, people were working on both sides to tear it down. In Acts 17, it says, therefore, if God gave them the same gift as he gave to us, also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in his way? Who was I to get in God's way? He gave them the same thing that he gave us. Now, this is important because oftentimes we look for the differences. And if we can't find them, we oftentimes want to create something. Pastor Larry talked about walking down the street with a couple. They were hot skipping and just walking hand in hand until they found out he was not Catholic. When I come to a church, I look and observe, but I also have my sensors out because I know that there is somebody that I'm going to make a connection with, period. Doesn't matter what they look like. I know I'm going to make a connection. When we come to church, we should be looking for Jesus in the person. Now, for me, I'm extremely comfortable talking about this. And by the way, we don't talk about race enough. Why are we skipping over this? Why are we skipping over our differences? Embrace your differences, but love the Lord and love me, because I love you. But see, this is what church is all about. You can't expect to go to church and have things the way you had at home, because it's different. You can go down the street to any other house of worship, and it's different. But there's still Christians there. See, it's important that you get out of the way. I didn't say get out of God's way. You can't get in God's way. He'll move you. Like it or not, he will just move you. My wife will tell you, we've watched him do it here. We've watched him do it in other places. Just move people. Move circumstances, because that person was a barrier. They were in the way of what God was wanting to do, and God would not have anyone in his way of his will and his word. That's why Jesus dealt with sin. Sin is not the issue anymore. It's your decisions concerning Christ. That's the stumbling block for many of us. When I was in the military, in the Army, we had this saying, do something, lead, follow, or get the, it was an H word, out of the way. Since we can't lead the Lord, then we have limited options. There are follow or get out of the way. Either follow the Lord or get out of the way. Those who would like to be leaders, those who call themselves leaders, your credentials and qualifications for leadership have nothing to do with your academic accomplishments. Let me be clear on that. The Lord doesn't prepare us the same way our educational institutions did. Even seminary doesn't prepare us for a lot of the things that we're dealing with in the church. The Lord does. Your circumstances, where you've been, being a farmer, being a nurse, those things prepare you. Being a mother, those things prepare you to serve in God's kingdom. And Jesus was a servant leader, which means if you're not thinking about serving, not by the things that you think you should be doing, by what needs to be done and you're available, you're not fit to lead, not in God's kingdom. Because God needs willing vessels who have let their walls down, took down their barriers to allow God to dictate what you should be doing. That's what getting out of the way means. Lord, have your way in my life. Why do we say that and not mean that? Because the Lord needs people to just move aside, and he'll call you into something. But a lot of times we're not willing to go where the Lord wants to place us. It's beneath us. It's beneath my education. You're going to have a problem with the Lord, because the Lord is not developing you that way. It has nothing to do. Paul was a scribe and a Pharisee, highly educated. God did not have Paul in Jerusalem. Paul became the teacher to the Gentiles. God didn't need him there. He needed a man that knew the word but was willing to go wherever God sent him. Are you willing? Are you willing to be used by God? Then you're going to have to get out of the way and ask the Lord, Lord, am I in the way? Lord, what can I be doing? Lord, what should I be doing? What should I be doing, Lord? When we were at St. John's Baptist Church in Woburn, I was assigned the task to put a men's retreat together. I did. We were at Grottenwood. You had all these men in cabins. We were having a good time. I gave some instructions that night. I said, give us your name, tell us where you're from, and why you are here. The first person gave us his name, then he started talking about his daddy. Then the second person did the same thing. I stopped everybody. I said it again. Give us your name, where you're from, and why you are here. Didn't matter. It was like a steamroller. Guys went back to talking about their fathers and where they came from. And as I sit there, I recognize what was going on. The Lord was doing something different. That was not God's plan. That was my plan. And I'm going to execute my plan. But then I did ask that question, Lord, what are you doing? And I opened my eyes and I said, oh, get out of the way, Henry. We stayed up to 5 o'clock in the morning with guys crying, men crying like little babies, talking about the Lord, talking about God and the struggles that they've had. They were pouring out their hearts. We laid down at 6 and got up at 7 for breakfast all night long. But see, I recognized that God was doing something. I recognized that it was not my plan. It was not my program. It was not even my retreat. It was the Lord's. And so I learned then, get out of the way, Henry. When I was in seminary, things had gotten rough there for a bit. The Lord took a child. Then I had 2 preemies. Then I had one that was not a preemie, that one that wasn't really supposed to be. And I was frustrated and depressed in a many way. And then I get this letter from the Veterans Administration saying that they had overpaid me and they wanted their money back. And they were not going to fund me anymore for school. And so I said, oh, okay. Well, guess I don't finish seminary. One day I'm talking to the Lord, and he says, well, didn't I put you in school? I said, yeah. I said, but they said this, this, and this, and this. If you really want me to finish, then you'll fix this. The next week, I received a letter from the Veterans Administration that said that my debt was canceled. I said, oh, just in time for me to enroll in CUME for the fall semester. I get back to CUME all excited. The dean tells me, you know, I think I'm going to have you go before a review board before you can get back in school. And so I told him everything that the Lord had just done. And he stood there and he looked at me and he said, Henry, if God is not in your way, I'm not going to get in your way. And I marveled at how the Lord had just moved this man with his arrogance and his attitude. But see, I was ready. I would have done anything because why? The Lord had already moved everything out of my way. A review board, I'll ace that. Didn't matter. I was energized and charged up because of what the Lord had already done. And I'm saying to us that when we decide to get out of the way, that the Lord will do things. And lastly, When I think about walls, when they took down that Berlin Wall and they were working from both sides, you'll notice that this big block of concrete falls. And what it shows us is that there's freedom. There's access from one side to the other, from the east to the west. There's access. When the Lord tore the curtain, we gained access to God directly. I don't have to go through my mama, my daddy, a preacher, a priest. Nobody separates me from the Lord, nor you from the Lord. We have complete access. They have access because we have access because, you see that? Freedom. And let me tell you something. When the Lord did this, he created an atmosphere where the East Germans were relaxed. Before that, you would have been shot. I am serious. You would have been shot dead. But because of the Lord, he took down the walls. What about your walls? What about the things that divide us? We truly can't be church until there's unity in spirit. That doesn't mean that we have to agree with one another. It means that we have to be agreeable to the things of Christ. And what breaks my heart more than anything else is to see the divisions that we've created, and we keep those barriers up in the name of Christianity. You guys are different. We don't worship that way. We're liturgical. Okay. So is Jesus. Well, we're not liturgical. Okay. Neither is Jesus. He's everything to everybody according to what you need, according to what I need. We serve a Savior that, even as I was listening to the worship this morning, I'm glad they didn't turn on my mic, Joshua. I really wanted to get some of that, man. It was good. It was good. It was real good. I wanted to end on that because it was good. And everybody should want in on what God is doing because it's always good. Every time we worship, the worship leaders are different. That's a good thing. I'm not finished, but I'm stopping. Praise ye the Lord. As we prepare for communion, we at the church are a merged group of people, Baptists and Evangelical Covenant. Come on up, Deacon. We do communion different. One is not superior to the other, just different. Just like you and I are different. But as we prepare for communion, and as the table is prepared, on the night in which our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Then he took the cup and he filled it with wine. And he said, after giving thanks, this is my blood shed for you, poured out for you. As often as you come together, do this in remembrance of me. For I will not eat of the bread nor drink of the wine again until we are together in my Father's kingdom. And so as we take communion today, communion is for believers. Paul tells us that if we have issues with our brothers and sisters, that we should seriously think about taking communion. And if doing so, we eat and drink damnation into ourselves. Now, that simply means if my wife and I were cursing at one another when we came to church this morning, I need to make that right. And that's what Paul is talking about. That disunity in the spirit has no place in the church. So as we partake of the communion today, bear those things in mind. The body of our Lord and Savior, given for you, take ye and eat. The blood of our Lord and Savior, shed for you, take ye and drink. I'm going to invite the worship team back. God bless you.